We're coming to this portion of Scripture this morning. Now, of course, this is Mother's Sunday as well. And I must say this, what makes a good son and a good daughter? Well, if you can smell the smell of fairy liquid off their hands, that makes a good son and a good daughter. I said that in a church one time, some time ago. I said, how do you know a good husband? You can smell the smell of fairy liquid off his hands. And when the evening service was over, this man was going out. He says, "Brother, you got me into an awful spot today." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I had to wash the dishes." And so I trust that you'll look after your mother, because it is a tremendous privilege to have our mothers. And my mother went home to be with the Lord when she was 62 years of age. And you know, we always look forward to meeting again in that land that is fairer than day, and we need in these days. But we're coming this morning to this portion of God's work, because in the age in which we live, the pressure of life for the saved is creating heartache and sorrow, as God's law is being destroyed in the land in which we live and right across the world. The new coronavirus that has come in this last 2 years, a place that has taken its toll right across the whole world, and even in our own land at this particular time. And many people are under tremendous pressure today, wondering if they take it, will they die? And will they be able to survive it? And with all the else that's happening in the world today, the earthquakes and the fires, and the war, even at the minute, with Russia and the Ukraine, we never, ever believed that it would ever get to that stage again where people would be being murdered and being injured and having to leave their own country. And people are scared of what's happening. But let us not be scared today, because our God is still in control. And these signs that we see are signs that we are heading towards the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, sometimes people wonder today, where are we? But no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But when you read Matthew 24 and you see the signs that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, then we can see that we are heading towards the end time. And halfway down that chapter of Matthew 24, it tells us when the gospel is preached all over the world, the end will come. These end time scenes will start. And you know, the gospel is preached all over the world today, and this last 2 years particularly, on the internet. And we need to realize that there is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And it's up ahead. No man, as I said earlier, knows the day nor the hour. But we need to see the signs, and we need to pray. And I pray every day that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because he is still in control of all that happens in the world. He allows it to happen or brings it to happen for his glory and for his purpose. But we want to look this morning upon this heaven that is mentioned in chapter 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And this is something that has been on my mind over these last months, and we have preached a few times on it. But I believe it's a tremendous encouragement to those of us that are God's children. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples the night before he was betrayed and began his trial, knowing that sorrow and the agony that he was about to endure, he thought only about his disciples, giving them this great comfort. And I want to look for some time this morning at the place called heaven to encourage our hearts at this time of our heavenly home that's being provided for us, the future abode of the saints of God, the home of all the saints of all ages, the place where all born again men, women, boys and girls go when they die. Heaven, of course, has always been a means of great comfort to the saints of God down through the years. And as they approach the day of their departure, they have to look forward to their eternal home. And we read of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was about to enter his eternal home. He was privileged to get a look into heaven. In Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What comfort that must have been as the stones were about to take his life. Richard Baxter, the great Puritan preacher and the author of the little book, The Saint's Everlasting Rest, was asked during his last illness how he felt, and he whispered, I am almost well. He knew all would be well forever, and soon the struggle of life would be over. Samuel Rutherford, from prison in Aberdeen, said, looking forward to his eternal home, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. And thinking now about the saved of the Lord, two things we wish to know about our departed ones. Where are they and how does it fare with them? And the Bible gives us the answer regarding those who were saved. In Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Many are the questions asked when sorrow comes to our life. But I want us to look at what is revealed in the Bible about heaven. And first of all, we want to look at the place. Is heaven a place? Does it really exist? Last year during the lockdown, I met a man and his wife along the road not far from where we lived, and I knew where he worked in the local hospital for many years, and he talked to me and we talked about the COVID and one thing and another, and he says, you know, he says, all that have retired along with me out of my job, every one of them is dead and gone. And I said to him, well, you know, that's where we're all going. One day we're going to go down that road of death. And I said, it has to be in our interest that we are prepared and ready for heaven. And he said, if there is a heaven. And I said, well, the Bible teaches that there is a heaven. And he just turned to the wife. He says, we'll have to go here. He didn't want to know any more. And we want to look, first of all, does heaven really exist? And the text that we have, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what more proof do we need than the word of the King of Kings? In 2 Kings 2:1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. The Lord took Elijah up into heaven. He took Elijah to a place called heaven. In Proverbs 30 and verse 4, who hath ascended up into heaven? And again, the Bible teaches us that heaven is a place. John 6 and 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus tells us he came down from a place called heaven. Heaven really exists because the Bible and numerous references teach us that heaven is a place. A place where Jesus came from. A place where Jesus went to prepare a place for his followers. A place where the Lord took Elijah in a whirlwind. Heaven is located up. Jesus came down. Jesus went up. Elijah went up. We're not told the exact position, only that it is up. And all we need to know is that It is a place away beyond the sky. Jacob was asleep in Genesis 28 and 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sent up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. The ladder was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between man, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And we have the ascent of Jesus up to heaven. In Acts 1 and verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There is no doubt that there is a place called heaven. No matter what the world thinks, or the devil that has corrupted the minds of the majority of people in the world around us today, that they don't really believe that there is a heaven. The place, heaven. But then we want to look, secondly, at the people. Who will be in heaven? First of all, God the Father is in heaven. In Psalm 115, verses 2 and 3, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. In Matthew 6 and 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus declares heaven as a place where God the Father dwells. And yet, in a remarkable way, the heavens and the earth cannot contain the eternal God. God the Son is in heaven. In John 3 and 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you know, that is tremendous, that we can look forward to that day when Jesus will return. And it's nearer than what we think. It used to be that I would have thought it was a long time away, and things took years to change, as some of the older ones will know, and now they're changing overnight. But I believe we see the signs that will be leading up to the Antichrist arising and to the Lord coming again to destroy him and to take the saints of God home. The signs are beginning to appear before us at this time. God the Holy Ghost is in heaven. 1 Peter 1 and 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things the angels desire to look into. So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in heaven, and we have the angels. And Matthew 18 and 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And Matthew 24 and 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we have the triune God in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then we have also in heaven the saints of all ages. Now a saint is a sinner who has been saved, born again into God's family. And I trust that each one in our service this morning has had that experience, that you've been born again into God's family, and therefore you're a saint of God. In Revelation 7 and 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. In the verse 14, and I say unto him, sir, thou knowest, And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The saints of all ages, the Old Testament saints, are in heaven because they trusted in the sacrifice of Christ who was to come. Moses and Abraham and Joshua and David, they all looked forward to the birth and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw his death and the sacrifice of the Lamb in the temple. And they were saved in the same way as you, what you and I are saved, by looking forward to the sacrifice that Christ was going to make on their behalf, because there is no one in heaven but those that have been cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the New Testament saints are in heaven because they trusted in the sacrifice of Christ, which was to come, or came rather, because they saw the sacrifice of Christ, some of them. And others looked back too, to that cross work of Christ. Peter and Barnabas and Stephen and all the disciples. And since then till now, and until the end of the age, all who accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, many have relations already there. The true believer has a desire in his or her heart to get home to heaven. And you know, it is tremendous to know those that have gone before. My father and mother both are in heaven. And why are they there? Two faith mission pilgrims came to Glenageara, Orange Hall. And they held a mission. And they did the doors for the mission, and not one came to the meetings. And they were going to have to write. There was no telephones in those days, or these modern technology. And they were going to have to write to the district pilgrim and say, nobody has come in. And they were going down the road, and they saw this field, and they saw people gathering potatoes in it. It must have been in October time, or around that, September, October. And they went and back and changed their clothes and got a basket and went and gathered potatoes all day, and nobody spoke to them. And at the end of the day, they asked the farmer, could they announce the meeting? And that night, the hall was packed. And my mother went to that mission and was saved. They moved round the road onto the main Ballygolly, Omer Road, Newton Savile Orange Hall, and my father was saved in it. And God brought them together. And we had the privilege of father and mother saved by God's grace. And many can talk like that and look back. And if you have had been brought up in a Christian home, it is a tremendous privilege to be able to have that. And we can look forward to that day when we will see them again. Many have the relations, as we said, already there. And the true believer has a desire in his or her heart to get home to heaven. And Philippians 1:23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And our desire as Christians and our longing should be to see Jesus and leave this old world behind. But yet, for the sake of our loved ones and for the unsaved, it is needful that we await God's perfect timing. Because we have a duty here to pray for our families and for our friends and our loved ones and our workmates, and to live as a witness before them, and to pray that they will come and be saved by God's grace. Our death and the day of our date of our death is in God's hands. The man talked about COVID, and I said to him, I have no problem with people dying with COVID, because that was the day that was appointed by God for them to die. But what I did have a problem with, that because of the COVID, their family couldn't be with them. And that has created heartache and sorrow amongst the relations, that they couldn't have a funeral and they couldn't be with them when they died and they couldn't see the corpse. But those who died with COVID died in God's time. And you and I will live in this world until that day that God has appointed for us. And the doctors and the nurses have the skill to keep us until that particular time comes. And you know, it's in God's hands. I remember a doctor in the town, a foreign doctor actually, he was a great doctor. And he met me one day in the town and we were talking way back. And now this is maybe 35 or 40 years ago. And he says, Ronnie, he says, I had an awful thing to do this morning. And he said, I had, and he named the man concerned. He said, we had done tests for him. And he said, he came in to get the results. And he said, I had to look at him across the desk and say, you've got cancer and you're not going to live. And he said, he looked at me and he says, doctor, he says, I have just retired out of business and I have £1 million. Send me anywhere in the world to extend my life. And he says, Ronnie, I had to look at him and tell him his money was no good. There was nowhere where I could send him to extend his life. And that man, I saw his death in the paper a couple of weeks afterwards. The day that we leave this scene of time is the day that God has appointed for us, a day to be born and a day to die. The true believer, of course, has that desire to see Jesus and leave this old world behind. How long shall it take us to get to heaven? In 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's no need for spaceships. When that day comes, our soul will leave the body and be immediately with the Lord. The heavens of the clouds and the rain and the heavens of the sun and the moon and the stars, the third heaven where God dwells, is immediately available to the believer. And what a tremendous thing that is, that we have that assurance in our heart today that when that day comes, we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And if you're not saved in the church this morning, then you're not going to be in God's heaven. You're going to be in a lost sinner's hell and the lake of fire. Of course, there's people today who don't believe in the lake of fire. Way back when I taught Sunday school in the Presbyterian Church, and I'll tell you, many years, was a long number of years ago, and the minister and me got into a conversation before the Sunday school opened, and he said there's no, he didn't believe in fire and hell. And whenever he opened the Sunday school, it was all around a big hall, and he wagged me out with a finger, and I never liked that because the teacher used to do that in school to you. And when he wagged you out, you knew you were going to get caned. But he called me out. He says, Ronnie, when you've been to Trinity College in Dublin and learned Greek and Hebrew, you will know that there is no such a place as fire, no such a thing as fire and hell. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Rowan, the Lord gave me the answer. Mr. Rowan, tell me this, who do I believe? You with your degrees out of Trinity College in Dublin, or the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, when he says seven times in the one chapter, it's a place of fire. And he turned and run and left me. He had no answer. You see, the Bible teaches us that not only is there a heaven, but there's a hell, a place of torment. But then thirdly, not only the place called heaven or the people that are in heaven, but the pleasure. It's a place of extreme joy and happiness. Psalm 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The pleasure of meeting our Lord and Savior. And you know, that is something as tremendous. And 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To see face to face the one who today we love, And through faith, that's how we know him today, through faith. It'll be unspeakable joy to see him face to face. What a day that's going to be. To see face to face the one who we love today and see through faith. It'll be unspeakable joy beyond our comprehension while we're in the body. Revelation 21 and 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. There's a pleasure, a place of extreme happiness, but it's a place of all of life's sorrows gone forever. And Revelation 21 and 2, and I saw John, the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And verse 4 of that Revelation 21, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The battle with sin and the flesh and the devil will be over forever. None of the curses of the fall, sorrow, toil, death, ever again to blight our pathway. There's no graveyards on the hillsides of glory, someone wrote one time. And you know, that is something we can look forward to. Get rid of your arthritis. You'll get rid of all the pains and aches that you have, and all the worries that you have, and all the depression that people has today. And some people have a lot of problems and health, but that day it will be gone forever. No more sorrow will blight our pathway. But then there's going to be the pleasure of reunion with our loved ones. And how often the question is asked, will we recognize each other in heaven? There's a lot of speculation, which sometimes leads to Christians becoming downcast. What does the Bible teach? In Mark 9 and 4, and there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And verse 5, Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, for Moses, and for Elias. Peter recognized Moses and Elias and the Holy Mount, though they left the scene of time centuries beforehand. And 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16 that we already quoted, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know, that is something tremendous, that we can look forward to those who have gone before, that their bodies are in the grave, their soul is with the Lord, but they'll be reunited and caught up with us to be with him. And it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Does this not speak of recognition? Would the recognition not be part of the comfort? And you know, when someone loses their father or their mother or their wife or their husband or some loved one, their heart is broken. And you know, that's normal. Sometimes you get Christians and they think, oh, well, if somebody dies and they're gone to heaven, you should rejoice. But we're only human. And we do miss our loved ones when they go. But we have that tremendous assurance that one day we will meet them again. Does this not speak of recognition? Would the recognition not be part of the comfort? And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul was sure of recognizing his converts. And if the unconverted will recognize from hell the saints in heaven. In Luke 13 and 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdoms of God, and yourselves thrust out. Part of the punishment in hell will be the bliss of the saints in heaven. The rich man recognized Abram and Lazarus in his bosom. And if evil sinners recognize their friends in the midst of their punishment, will not the saints of God know each other? Oh, yes, we will. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. If we have even greater knowledge than we have now, when we get to heaven, will we not know each other? One day we will have full knowledge as Christ knows. What a day that will be. The reunion of all the saints of God. Then will be perfect love, heavenly love. All saints together and one accord. You know, there'll be no denominations in heaven. It used to say in my early days that the Plymouth Brethren would have a wee place in heaven for themselves. And then when the Free Presbyterians started, they said, oh, there'll have to be a separation place for them. But some of the old, whether it was W.P. Nicholson or some of the early men said that whenever you die and you head up to heaven, the denomination will drop off you. And if you go to hell, it'll be burnt off you. Because when we get to heaven, we will all be one. And the only reason that we're there is not because we're Free Presbyterian or Brethren or Baptist or anything else. It's because we are saved by the grace of God. We have been washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Saved dead will receive a new body. The living saved will receive a new body. What a tremendous day that's going to be. Who shall change our vile body, that it will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Receive a perfect body. How we should thank God as children of God every day for the place that God has prepared for us. Are you ready to go? If you died now today, you say, I'm not going to die today. Well, you don't know. One of our men out of the Castle Derrick Free Presbyterian Church, T.D. McCain, was out on Saturday with a friend of his, a brother-in-law of his, actually, and the wife. His wife had died some years ago, and they were out shopping. And he was in reasonable good health. His daughter rang him on Monday morning, and no answer. And when she got to the house, he was dead, half out of the bed. He'd taken a heart attack. No one knows the day that God is going to call us, and you need to be prepared and ready. And if you're not saved, you'll go to the lake of fire. And Revelation 20 and the verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a tragedy that is going to be for a large number of people in this land of ours today. Have no interest going to listen to ministers and who do not preach the gospel of saving grace. A Presbyterian minister told me one time, the church I went to, he says, Ronnie, I know I need to preach the gospel the same as Ian Paisley, the same as Billy Graham, and the same as the Faith Mission, but I'm not going to do it because you know they would throw me out. And so they would have in the same situation. But there he was, not preaching the gospel. Those people sitting under a man who didn't warn them that if they weren't saved, they would be lost. And you know, there is many, many people in this day and age in which we live. And when they are committed to the ground, they're already in hell. It's like an elder in a Presbyterian church died, and I knew him very well. His family over the years, and I went to the funeral, and the Presbyterian minister buried him. And on the end of at the grave, he said, you know, he buried him in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. And I met the man a short time after the minister. He was a saved man. And I said to him, did your elder get saved before he died? No, he says he didn't. And I said, how did you bury him then in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection? He says, Ronnie, you didn't listen. I didn't say which resurrection. He says, there's two, one unto life and one unto death. But I said, in other words, you gave the impression that man was in heaven. He didn't speak to me for months after. And he told his congregation, and they wouldn't give me the hall then for a mission at a later date for a while after. But you know, if you're not saved in the church today, I ask you, will you not come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're listening online, sitting at home, and you're not saved, then I ask you, will you not come and put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? And then that day when it comes, and it will come, you will be absent from the body and you will be present with the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow together in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for that home that is prepared for us and the land that is fairer today. And we thank thee for each one in the service that is saved by God's grace, that's ready to go home when the day of their departure from this world comes. And we pray for those that are not saved, that you will open their hearts. The Holy Spirit will draw them to thyself and save them. For those that are listening, those that are saved, Lord, we pray that they will look forward to that day as well when they leave and be with thee. But for those that are not saved, Lord, save them, we pray. We ask thee now that you will part us and take us to our homes in safety and bring us back for the evening service. In Jesus' name, amen.